The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Light means illumination. Light dispels darkness.
Proclaiming God's love and truth for you and your family. Wonder Lake Bible Church.
The entrance of thy words giveth light. That is the title of my message this morning. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Psalm 119, verse 130. Light means illumination. Light dispels darkness. When God created the heavens and the earth, you read right in the very first verses of Genesis, the world was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light, and the darkness was pushed away. Jesus said in John 8:12, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Shall not walk in darkness is the same as saying shall not live his daily life in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And what I want to do this morning basically is share with you some of the things that are taking place around the world among ethnic groups. We sometimes refer to them as tribal groups, tribal peoples, or ethnic groups, because they're different. Their languages are different. Their cultures are different. Their way of life is different, each one. And I want to show you how the Word of God, when it is brought to these people, taught to them properly, brings the light of salvation, and the spiritual darkness is dispelled and moved away. But first, we need to take a brief look at what our condition without Christ is really like. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4 are important words here from the Apostle Paul. It reads like this: "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom," the lost ones, "in whom the God of this world hath blinded the eyes of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." The active agent here is Satan. Satan wants to keep everyone in spiritual darkness without the knowledge of God, without a knowledge of the way of salvation. Satan will be satisfied with any type of religion, call it what you want, just so long as it is not the gospel of salvation by faith in Christ Jesus. Men love darkness rather than the light, we're told in John chapter 3, verse 19. So the fact that we are in spiritual darkness by nature, we end up loving this darkness. You may not think about it quite like that, but we end up loving it. And men generally seek the darkness to perform some of their evil deeds. A thief at night will come to your house in the darkness to break in and steal. He probably won't choose, 11 o'clock in the morning in a broad daylight with people all over running up and down the street. No, he'll seek the darkness. This spiritual darkness is coupled tightly with idolatry. And we read in Psalm 96, verse 5, and I think it'd do well if we just read that verse. 96, verse 5, reads like this: "For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens." The gods of the nations are idols. Idolatry exists in all kinds of shapes and sizes and forms. If we look at tribal peoples, you may find idolatry in the form of something carved out of wood or stone or something like that visible. It may be the moon or the sun or the stars or something like that, but it's idolatry. It can even be a bird, as is the case with one tribe in the country of Bolivia. So those are some of the ways in which idolatry appears. But just because we're civilized people, so-called, with high technology at our fingertips, doesn't mean we don't have idols. Idols, in our case, can be money, can be possessions, can be sex, it can be the power of dominating people or circumstances, this sort of thing. And if you just look around the world, you'll find all kinds of examples of this type of idolatry. So idolatry and spiritual darkness go together. But the entrance of thy words giveth light. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. There's a verse here, a couple of verses that are very, very important, and I want to read them to you. In 1 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul, the first chapter, he is talking to the Thessalonian church. And he is actually commending them, largely because of the way they received the gospel and the way they have carried out the sharing of the gospel. And part of the details in this, in verse 8, Paul writes these words: "For from you, from the Thessalonian church, sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place, your faith to God's word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." In other words, they had done such a good job of receiving the gospel and then preaching it and sharing it, Paul says, I don't have any need to exhort you any further in that particular aspect. "For they," the hearers, "themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." How you turned from idols, whatever they were at that time, they left that behind. "The entrance of thy words giveth light." Now that was back there, you know, a couple of thousand years ago. Different people, different context, different setting, but same thing as we are seeing today taking place. I'm going to give you some examples. I could go on and on with a long list, but I've got about three or four here I want to share with you. There's a tribe of people in the country of Papua New Guinea by the name of Demangat. Funny name, yeah, Demangat. But in the last couple of years, the Demangat people have received the gospel. Missionaries have been there for a while. They've been learning language, learning culture, breaking down a language into a written language, translating the scriptures, and then teaching these people by what we call chronological teaching, starting from the very beginning, teaching them who God is, what God is like, where did sin actually come from. These are the basics you have to begin with and then bring that up to Christ. You can't just walk in and say, you need to receive Jesus as Savior. Doesn't mean anything if you do it that way. So we call this chronological teaching, and actually all it is, don't get hung up on the name. It's just a simple, practical way of teaching these people about God and what His desire is and His means of salvation. So the Demigat people have received the gospel, and there are a lot of believers, and a church is being established. The disciples are being made. Church leaders are being prepared. This is going on. You won't find this on the front page of your newspaper or on CNN, but it's going on today. The Pacas Novas Indian tribes in West Brazil. 60 years ago, when we first went to Brazil, 1951, starting in 1950, late 1950, we had some missionaries that went to reach the Pacas Novas people. Pacas Novas people were a savage tribe, primitive, resisting all outsiders. Our missionaries, in the first attempts to reach these people, traveling up a river in a canoe, they had to make a kind of a canopy of heavy wire mesh over them to protect themselves from the arrows that were being shot at them by the Pacas Novas people. Sounds like fun? And I can't go into all the details. Just suffice it to say they eventually were able to make a peaceful contact with the Pacas Novas. They began to learn the language and the culture, and on and on and on. Today, there are at least 6 churches among the Pacas Novas people. There are several hundred believers, and each year they have a Bible conference where several hundred Indians from various villages get together for Bible study and preaching and baptizing and just a good time. They all bring, you know, different foods to eat at that time. And that's what's going on today. The entrance of thy words giveth light. These people are no longer wild, savage Indians. Eb and I had the privilege of visiting there a few years ago, and we were in a little school room, and the little service that they had there, and they served communion, and it was very touching, just hard to explain what I felt as a Pacas Novas Indian came around serving the bread and the wine to me. Unbelievable. That's the Pacas Novas. The Gavião people of northeast Brazil. Entirely different tribe. The Gavião people, 50 years ago, were still unreached. They didn't know anything about the gospel. Our folk went in there. The process is repeated again. Learning language, learning culture. The first few years there were very difficult. There was virtually no road into these people. Today, you can go there on a paved road, and there's telephone service, and you know all kinds of things nowadays. But again, the language was learned, the culture was learned, the people were taught, and today, there's a good group of believers among the Gavião people. They have built themselves a nice little church building. The church is the people. They just meet in a building. Remember that. And today, they too are the result of the entrance of thy words giveth light. And these are just some of the examples. Many other tribes all over Brazil and all over Africa, all over New Guinea, the Philippines, Thailand, the entrance of thy words giveth light. There's one very special incident that happened about a year and a half ago that I would like to relate. Now, just think of this. Pay attention and think of the pieces of this puzzle as it comes together. A Christian Indian from Paraguay came to the U.S., came to Orlando. He came to attend a conference or a seminar along with some other people. He got off the plane in Orlando, was met by another one of the missionaries, and they went to a restaurant for a little breakfast, and they were seated at a table talking in Spanish, and the waitress that was there was going around doing her job, but she was overhearing this conversation, and she was, every moment she could, she was hearing, you know, getting in on this. Finally, she couldn't stand it any longer. And she went over to them and she says, "I don't know what it is you have, but I need it." This waitress was a lady from Colombia, South America. Now, here's a Christian Indian from Paraguay. A lady from Colombia sat down there. This Christian Indian from Paraguay was able to lead this lady to Christ. Think of that. Paraguay, Colombia, a restaurant in the U.S. That's just, you know, when will a thing like that be repeated? Almost impossible. But the entrance of thy words giveth light. Remember that. Well, tell all these things. It's, you know, it's thrilling. It's great, but what does this mean for you and I? Are these just tales to tell? There's a challenge here, and it's for you, and it's for me. So take a look at Acts 26, verses 15 through 18. Acts 26, verses 15 through 18. Now here, in this chapter, the Apostle Paul is before King Agrippa, and he's giving his testimony. He's telling how he was saved. Now, notice some things here. Paul is speaking, "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which you have seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto you, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Did you see what's there? The purpose Paul had was to reach people, to turn them from darkness to light. And that same obligation rests with you and with me today. Your name may not be Paul, it may be John, Mary, Peter, or whatever, but that same obligation before the Lord rests with you and I. Then we go back to 2 Corinthians 4 again and pick up a couple of other verses. Verse 1 of chapter 4, Paul writes, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." We received a ministry, the ministry of sharing this gospel. How did you receive mercy from the Lord? He did it all. You didn't do anything. You received freely, give freely, share freely. Jump down to verse 7. Paul says, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels." Our physical bodies. "In earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." So we are nothing more than instruments in God's hands. But with His power and direction, we can do wonders. "The entrance of thy words giveth light." People can be turned from darkness to light. Lives can be freed from Satan's power. Sins can be forgiven. I want you to think much now about the unreached people around the world. I'm not going to give you a list of, you know, statistics, so many thousands, so many hundreds, so many this, so many that. You wouldn't remember those things anyway. But I do want you to realize there are a lot of people starting right out here, across the street, down the corner, you know, your neighbor, whoever, that are in darkness. And they need the light of the gospel. But I would like to impress on you, especially these people groups, these ethnic groups, these tribal people around the world who have yet to have the first opportunity for the gospel. They need to be reached. They're everywhere. There are still some in Brazil. There are some in Africa. There are some in New Guinea. We were in a conference last weekend, and one of our missionaries, who is a pilot over in New Guinea, was telling us of a tribe that they just discovered here just a few weeks ago, mind you. In some of those mountainous areas of New Guinea, a little valley tucked away there somewhere with a tribe that nobody knew existed. Now they are going to go in. One of our missionaries in Brazil just sent me an email about a month ago and making reference to a tribe that the door is opening now. And he said in this email, "We need money and we need people." Missionary work is not cheap. It's expensive to reach these kind of people. But Christ died for them as well as He died for you and me. So I challenge you to remember this. "The entrance of thy words giveth light." Pray, give, and let the Lord speak to you also about going. I'm certain that Pastor Dan would be thrilled to see young people, or even some not so young, rising up from the midst here and going out to take the gospel. Thank you very much.